We'll look to the Lord in a word of prayer and seek for his help in the meeting tonight as we come before him with our worship. We'll look to the Lord. Our God and our Father, we draw near again to thee in the Saviour's precious name. We thank thee for that way of access that we have into thy presence through Christ. The Lord has become, we would look to thee for this service. We pray for thine help. We pray for thy presence, Lord. We ask thee that as we would come to thee with our praise tonight, that thou would accept our singing as praise unto thee. Pray, Lord, that everything that is said and done will bring honor to the name of the Lord. We pray, O God, that it will be that which pleases thee. We pray that the stamp of thine approval will be upon our gathering tonight. So be with us, Lord, and help us. And bless us, we pray thee, for we ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now we're turning to the hymn number 284, if you're using your own hymn book. The number is 284 on our hymn sheet. Whenever we meet, you always say, "What's the news?" Pray, "What's the order of the day? What's the news?" Oh, I have got good news to tell. My Saviour hath done all things well and triumphed over death and hell. That's the news. And we'll remain seated while we sing.
Yeah.
We'd look to the Lord again in prayer. Our God and our Father, we draw near again into thy presence, coming through the precious name of thine eternal Son and our Saviour and our Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. As we bow before thee, found at the throne of grace, we thank thee, Lord, that thou hast called us to come to the throne of grace with the promise that there we would find grace to help in a time of need. The Lord, we come now seeking that help. We pray that as we come before thee with our praises, with our singing, Lord, we pray that thou would help us. Help us, Lord, to worship thee aright. Help us, Lord, to sing our praises unto thee with our hearts focused upon thee. We acknowledge that we have much to praise thee for. We recognize, Lord, that we are in ourselves and of ourselves but sinners. And yet, Lord, we praise thee for each one that is found in this gathering tonight. And for those who would look on by way of sermon audio, we thank thee, Lord, for each one who has been saved by thy grace. We thank thee for thy mercy. We praise thee for thy love. And thank thee, Lord, that we can say tonight of the Lord Jesus Christ that he loved me and gave himself for me. Praise thee for the sacrifice that the Savior made. We thank thee for his atoning work. We thank thee for his Calvary, his cross work. Praise thee, O God, for every blessing that is ours in salvation and those things that accompany our salvation. We come, O God, tonight and we praise thee for the benefits that we have that are found in Christ. But Lord, we pray now for this meeting as we would continue before thee, that we might know the real sense of the Lord in the midst. We acknowledge, O God, the real possibility that we can go through this hour of service. And Lord, we could go through it in a formal state without knowing the warmth of the presence of the Lord. But, O God, we pray tonight that thou would rid us of mere formality and that which is a mere clinical process. But, O God, tonight that we might know the Lord amongst us, that we might know the very power of God in the midst. We pray that as we come to the Word of God, we'll know the help of God. And we pray that the Word will be applied to our hearts. So right throughout the service, Lord, we pray for thine help and for the stamp of the approval of God to be upon us. We do remember every gathering such as this. We think of our sister congregations, Lord, right around the province. We think of our congregations across the border and over in the mainland and then further afield, Lord. We pray for each one, whether it be large or small, that the presence of God will be very real and blessed. Remember those who have the responsibility of preaching thy word. We pray that thou would give to them that liberty, Lord. Let them know that help from the sanctuary. Let this be a blessed day around our churches. We pray, O God, tonight for every place where the word of God will be preached faithfully by faithful men of God. Let there be the abundance of the blessing of God and the help of the Lord. Remember our province. Lord, look to our nation. We acknowledge, Lord, the awful depth of sin and iniquity that abounds. Lord, we acknowledge that we have nothing, Lord, in ourselves as far as our province and nation is concerned that we will be of any help to us, found, Lord, in the darkness of confusion and sin. But, O God, we pray yet for mercy. We pray yet, Lord, for the moving of God in grace. We hold out ourselves before thee, Lord. Thou art our only hope for our nation, for our province. We pray that thou would move, that we might have again those days of blessing, days of revival,
Lord, we pray for days when we'll know the moving of the Spirit of God in mighty cases of conversion. Lord, we ask of Thee that even in the days, the weeks to come, that we may be able to testify to the wondrous things that God is doing in our province when God came down and wondrous things were done. Even, Lord, the mountains of sin and iniquity might melt before Thee. Lord, have mercy upon us, we pray. Have mercy upon the unsaved tonight. Let this be the hour, Lord, when their hearts will be opened by the Spirit of God and prepared, Lord, to receive the Word of God applied by the Holy Ghost. Lord, answer prayer to this end. Be our helper. Help me now, Lord, I pray. Answer prayer, for we ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. We're going to turn to a reading from God's Word, reading from the Old Testament, from the prophecy of Isaiah, well-known chapter, the chapter 53 of Isaiah, reading some verses, commencing at the opening verse of the chapter. Isaiah, the chapter 53, the first one. The opening verse. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of the dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Amen. We'll end our reading there at that verse 7. May the Lord be pleased to bless his word to our hearts as we've had it read to us. This part of the service, we're going to call on our brother, Mr. Keith Ferguson, to let us have the necessary announcements. Thank you, brother.
On behalf of the minister in session of Bethel Free Presbyterian Church, we'd like to give everyone a very warm welcome to our evening service. And if you're a visitor with us, we give you a special welcome tonight. I'd also like to welcome those who are joining us online. I'd also like to give a warm welcome again to the Reverend Linton. We thank him for coming today, and we very much enjoyed his ministry this morning. Prayer meeting is on Tuesday night at 8 p.m, and Mr. Richard Edwards will be conducting the prayer meeting. Services next Lord's Day, the 22nd of August, are at the usual times, 12 noon and 7 p.m., and will be conducted by our own minister, the Reverend Porter. Please remember in your prayers the Children's Bible Club meetings in Lisbelaw Orange Hall this coming week, Monday to Friday, at each day at 11 a.m. And if you wish to help, please see our sister, Mrs. Gillian Moore. Thank you.
again to thank our brother Mr. Ferguson for his words of welcome. Again, we would say that we're glad to be here today. We appreciate your minister and our brother Mr. Porter inviting us along to preach at the services today. And again, we look to the Lord for his help, that the Lord will be pleased to bless us and tarry with us as we wait before him around his praise and around his word. Now, we're going to sing another hymn together. The number is 287 in the hymn book. Depth of mercy can there be? Mercy still reserved for me. Can my God his wrath forbear me, the chief of sinners spare? And we'll remain seated while we sing. Turning into the New Testament to read just a few verses together, reading from Ephesians and the chapter 5. Ephesians, the chapter 5, and just reading the opening two verses of that chapter. Ephesians, the chapter 5, and the first one. The first one of that chapter 5. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savour. Amen. Now we look to the Lord in prayer. We'd ask the congregation to stand just for a moment's prayer, please. Our God and our Father, again, we look to thee in prayer, and our petition, O God, is that now as we turn to thy word, that thou would have the word applied to our hearts.
take that, Lord, which is thine and of thee, have it to be applied powerfully by the Spirit of God to hearts that have been prepared. Pray that this night thy word will be a saving word to the unsaved, that it might be a word of restoration to the backslider. And Lord, that it might be a word of encouragement and exhortation to thine own blood-bought people. Look to thee, Lord, for help now, not only in the hearing of the word, but we pray for help in the preaching of the word. Thou knowest, Lord, the need of the preacher. Oh, that thou would meet that need tonight for thine own glory's sake and for the blessing of the word to the hearts of men and women and young people. Give to me, Lord, all that is necessary. I pray that thou would give to me that fresh anointing, that I might know the power of God, the Holy Ghost, in the place of the preaching of the word of God. Give me clarity of mind. Give me plainness of speaking, that all might understand what the Lord has to say to us now. Lord, answer prayer. Do our hearts good. Bring glory to thine own name. For we ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. These opening verses of that chapter 5 of the epistle to the Ephesians would refer us back and to the closing verses of the previous chapter. Now let me read those verses to you, the first 31 of the chapter 4. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, that ye be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. The exhortation that we have in these verses is this: our behavior and our attitude towards our brethren and sisters in Christ is that we are to be kind-hearted one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, and loving one another. That is the substance of this exhortation that we have in these verses that are before us. Now, we are given some motives to consider that will show to us how and why we are to have this particular attitude towards each other. We are to be kind-hearted one to another because, first of all, it is the command of God. Now, that in itself ought to be sufficient, not only here in these verses, but throughout the Scriptures we have the exhortation of God with regard to this same attitude that we are to have one towards the other. For example, we have it in John, the chapter 15, the verse 12. The Lord Jesus Christ is speaking and he says, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. It is the divine commandment that our attitude, our behavior, one towards the other should be that which is attractive and that which is kind and that which is loving. Again, we find that there is the incentive for that when we remember our relationship. That is our relationship with God and with one another. It says here in the opening verse, we are God's dear children. Or literally, it can read, children beloved. Do you see, when God looks upon his children, those that are redeemed, God loves them just as he loves you and I, those of us who are redeemed. And we dare not hurt those that the Lord loves. It is likened to the touching of the apple of his eye. And further, we are God's children. Therefore, we ought to bear that family likeness, if we can put it like that. How often we note the family likeness of within a human family. We might hear it said, perhaps of a young lad, someone might say, well, isn't he very like his father? He talks like his father. He walks like his father. He has the same kind of movements as his father. And there is that likeness to be found there. Well, people, those of us that are redeemed, God is our heavenly Father. And therefore, we are to be like him in this particular matter. We are called here in the opening verse, his followers. And that word also can be well translated, imitators. We are to do as he does. God loves us. He is kind to us. He forgives us. He is tender-hearted towards us. And so we ought to be just like that towards one another, towards those who are his children. And so we have various incentives here that would have us to behave rightly towards one another. But then we have also the example of God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, because we read here in this verse 2, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us. And so the apostle is holding up the Lord Jesus Christ as the great example. We ought to be followers of God and therefore imitators of God the Son in this particular matter. And we read here of the Lord Jesus Christ and Christ's love for us. And it is this that I want to focus upon tonight just for a little while in the gospel message. It is the love of the Lord Jesus Christ for us. Could we see here in these verses the wonder of his love? Look at what it says. Very simply, it says, Christ also hath loved us. Christ hath loved us. People, here is something that is amazing, that Christ loves us. Christ, the apostle says, he loved me, over in Galatians 2 and the first 20. The hymn writer penned those words, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. It's a children's hymn. We often have it used as a children's hymn. It's a lovely children's hymn, but it's full of Bible truth. Jesus loves me. That's exactly what the apostle was saying. That the Lord Jesus Christ loves me. How do I know that? For the Bible tells me so. The Lord Jesus Christ, he, the second person of the Godhead, the creator of all things, he who is infinite and all of the glorious attributes of deity, in his wisdom, his power, his holiness, his justice, his goodness, his truth, he, the sinless Son of God, loves me. He loves us. People, what an amazing, what a wonderful thing that is, that Christ should love us. And we think of that little word that is used. Think about it. He loved us. Us, vile, filthy rebels against God, polluted, stinking with sin. Oh, people, look into your heart. Look into our own hearts, and we can see what we're like. The great mountains of sin that are there by nature. Dear people, dear unsaved, here is how we are. We are just great big lumps of sin is how it has been described by others before us. See how we're described in the Bible over in the opening chapter of Isaiah. There we see how God sees the sinner. We're described there in that verse 6, from head to foot, We're full of wounds and bruises and putrefying sores, running sores, festering sores, stinking sores. Oh, how awful this rotten depravity of man is. And yet Christ, the sinless Son of God, absolutely pure and just, he loved us. The hymn writer got it right. I am so glad that our Father in heaven tells of his love. In the book he has given wonderful things. In the Bible I see, but this is the dearest. This is the dearest. Out of all of the wonderful things in the Bible I see, people, this is the dearest, that Jesus should love me. The last verse closes with the words, this shall my song in eternity be. Oh, what a wonder that Jesus loves me. We have the wonder of his love. But then we've also here the work of his love. Look at what it says again in the first two. And walk in love as Christ also hath loved us. And then we read, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God. Here is the work of his love. The Lord hath given himself. Or the term could be, he hath given up himself. That's what the Apostle Paul said. When he was writing, he said he loved me and he gave himself for me. He gave himself up for me. What did the Lord Jesus Christ give himself up to? What did he give himself up as? It reads here, an offering and a sacrifice to God for us. For us. People, that's so important. The Lord Jesus Christ gave himself an offering and a sacrifice to God for us. An offering and sacrifice. Of course, the two terms are joined together and it brings us to the sacrifice of Christ on Calvary. But if we want a fine line of distinction, then this term offering would point to the dedication, the surrender to the purpose of God, his absolute obedience, his perfect keeping of the law for us. All in our place. We can say tonight, he lived for us. He lived for me. He lived a life that I couldn't live. Then, of course, we can see the sinless life of Christ is joined to his sacrifice, to the atoning death on Calvary. This is what he gave himself up to do in love for us. There he was on the cross, a sacrifice, a sinless sacrifice. Of course, he had to be if he was to atone for sinful mankind. Then he himself must be without sin. And there he was, without sin. We read over in 2 Corinthians 5, and there in that verse 21 of him, that he knew no sin. He who knew no sin was made sin for us. He is the sinless sacrifice. And if our in our mind and we can look, as it were, to the cross, and we can see in our mind's eye the Savior hanging on the cross. My friend, he is the sacrifice. He is the sinless sacrifice. Absolutely holy in himself, yes. He is bearing the sins of sinners like you and like I. But in his living, in his life, absolutely without sin. Not only the sinless sacrifice, he is the suffering sacrifice. We read through the scriptures, both Old and New Testament, and we see his suffering. For example, if we were to read through the Psalm 22, and we have Christ in view, and Christ is in view right throughout that psalm, we can see his suffering, we can see his pain, we can see his agony, we can see the attacks that were made upon him. Attacks that were made upon him by those who are described there in that particular psalm by terms like the bulls of Bashan and a roaring lion and dogs. How the Savior suffered and agonized, as we read through the Psalm 22, or the verses that we read earlier on in the service from Isaiah, the chapter 53, the great gospel chapter. And there we have been reading those terms of how he agonized and suffered. Look at how the terms are used. The third verse of that chapter 53 of Isaiah, we read, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows. We read of his grief in that third verse. Read again, he was despised. We esteemed him not. Look at the verse 4. He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. He was stricken, smitten of God, afflicted, verse 5. He was wounded for our transgressions. And the term that is used there for wounded will also carry the thought of tormented. He was bruised. Bruised for our iniquities. We read in at the end of that verse 5 again, of his stripes. Look at the verse 6. The end of the first, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Verse 7, he was oppressed, he was afflicted. And so the terms are there in those verses describing the sufferings, the agonies of the Lord Jesus Christ. If we look into the previous chapter, the chapter 52 of Isaiah, look at the verse 14. As many were astonished or astonished at thee, his visage was so marred, more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. Here is the divine account of Christ's appearance on the cross. His visage, his form, so marred. The word that is used here is the same word for destruction. Here it implies to be disfigured, to be defaced. Scarcely recognizable as a man, scarcely recognizable as a human body. Such was his excessive grief and agony. He was hated and vilified by the generality of the Jews. He was accounted and accused of being a deceiver, a blasphemer, a devil. He had endured all of the buffeting of sinful men, the slapping of his face, the spitting in his face, and then the agony of crucifixion, the pain, the thirst, all of this coupled with being forsaken by God the Father. The agony that our Savior endured for us. Imagine it, people, as he was laid upon that old wooden cross, that stake. And there it lies on the ground, and the nails, those long, rough Eastern nails, are hammered through the flesh of his hands into the wood of the cross. And his heels are joined together, and the stakes are hammered through his heels into the cross. The cross is lifted up and is dropped into the socket on the ground. And you can feel, as it were, the body as it would jar when the cross was dropped into the socket. and the wounds would open. There the Saviour suffered and agonized in pain for us. Sinless sacrifice, but the suffering sacrifice. But dear people, he was also the slain sacrifice. It was not enough that he should be sinless, and he was. And it was not enough that he should suffer, and he did. But the Lord Jesus Christ had to die in order to save sinners. The wages of sin is death. And there the Savior was the slain sacrifice. There his blood was shed. Without shedding of blood is no remission. There is no salvation, people, without the blood of Christ. Over in Leviticus 17, the verse 11, that we familiar yet all-important verse, it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. There is no salvation. A man can't be saved without the blood of Jesus Christ. There is no cleansing from sin without the blood of Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. No other means of cleansing. Dear men, women, and young people tonight, you'll never have your sin dealt with without the blood of Jesus Christ being applied. You'll never be in heaven without being cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. There's no other way. No other way. That's why Jesus Christ gave himself up to the cross of Calvary. There agonized the sinless Son of God, agonized and bled and died to pay the price of our sin, so that we might be redeemed. Here is Christ's atoning work in love for us. Just note the words. It was for us. It was for me. Charles Wesley wrote the words, "Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, should die for me?" Amazing love. Wondrous love. Dear unsaved, if you're ever going to be in heaven, you need to come by the way of the cross. By that I mean, you need to come by way of the atoning work of the Lord Jesus Christ, what Jesus did for sinners. No other way into heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ said himself, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man, my friend, no person will ever be in glory unless they come through the Lord Jesus Christ. That is, unless they give up themselves, their hopes of their own sufficiency, their own merits, their own works, their own goodness, and set it all aside and see themselves as vile, guilty sinners bound for hell and worthy of hell and deserving of hell. Unless you see yourself like that and come as a sinner to the Lord Jesus Christ and in faith call upon the Lord for salvation, my friend, unless you do that, you'll never be saved. You'll never be in heaven. You'll spend eternity in hell." The work of his love on Calvary. But then we have also here the worthiness of his work. Let us read that verse 2 again. "And walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savour." A sweet-smelling savour. His sacrificial substitutionary work for us is accepted by God. It is a sweet-smelling savour. before the Lord. We go back into the beginning part of the Bible. We go there to Genesis. Let me just read a verse from Genesis chapter 6 and the first 8. It has to do with the offering that Noah offered up unto the Lord. Look at the first 21. At Genesis 8, I should have said the first 21. Genesis 8, the first 21, we read, "And the Lord smelled a sweet savor." When Noah offered up that sacrifice, that offering unto the Lord smelled a sweet savor. Now, in the Hebrew, that term is used for satisfaction. He smelled a smell of satisfaction. Here is Christ's sacrifice. It is a sacrifice of supreme value. On the basis of that sacrifice, we have forgiveness of sin. We have cleansing from sin. We have reconciliation with God. We are adopted into God's family. We have access to God in prayer. All of that, people, is based on the atoning work of Christ, which God is satisfied with. We turn over there to Romans and to the third chapter of Romans. Let me read a verse there to you, the first 25. It's speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll read the first 24. "Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." Then we read this, "whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God." That word that is used, propitiation, Christ has been set forth by God to be a propitiation. And the term really means, in simple language, a satisfaction. Satisfaction. God is satisfied. Divine justice is satisfied with the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. God is pleased with it. There's a verse there, Philippians 4, the verse 18, and in that verse we read of an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well pleasing to God. So when we think of the work of Christ on the cross of Calvary, his atoning work, when he died on the cross of Calvary, it is a work that God is satisfied with. It satisfies God on behalf of every man and woman and young people that will acknowledge their sin and repent of their sin and throw themselves on the mercy of God and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. People, we look at ourselves, we look at our own hearts, and we feel our own unworthiness. Just like the Apostle Paul, we would say, "O wretched man that I am," or like the bride in the Song of Solomon, when she said of herself, "I am black as the tents of Kedar." We know that we are not worthy. We don't deserve God's blessing. We're not worthy of an eternal home in heaven. We can feel that. John the Baptist felt that. We remember how in the third chapter of Matthew, that verse 11 there, how he acknowledged that he was not worthy to bear the shoes of Christ. Not worthy. We think also of the centurion over in Matthew, the chapter 8, and he said to Jesus, "I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof. Not worthy. Peter felt likewise when in Luke 5 he said to the Savior, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man." Paul, writing there in 1 Corinthians 15, the first 9, he says, "I am not meet." The word is worthy. "I am not meet or worthy to be called an apostle." None of us of ourselves are worthy, but here's the point. We are made worthy in Christ. Ephesians 1, the first 6, God hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Christ is our righteousness. Colossians 1, the first 12, what a verse this is. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet, or made us sufficient to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. God has made us to be worthy in Christ. On the basis of what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us on Calvary in his atoning work, God has accepted that work on behalf of sinners like you and me who repent of their sin and put their trust in him. God is satisfied with Christ's work. It is to God a sweet-smelling savour. Here is the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. People, our righteousness is Christ's imputed to us. Our worthiness is Christ. We read of him, worthy is the Lamb. And all of those that are in Christ in union with Christ are regarded by God as being worthy, because our worthiness is in him. Our acceptance is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our salvation is not in our works. It is in Christ's work in Calvary. We are saved by grace through faith in Christ, not of our own works. And so today God sees us robed in the righteousness of his dear Son, and he is satisfied. Christ's work of love, his cross work, is accepted by God on behalf, and we say it again, on behalf of those who repent of their sin and trust in Christ alone for salvation. What a salvation this is. What a Savior this is, who did all of this for us. Child of God, rejoice in this so great salvation. Dear backslider, you once walked with God, walked with the Lord and enjoyed fellowship with the Lord, but you've lost out somehow, somewhere, someplace. And today finds you away from the Lord in the bypath meadows of the world. Oh, consider how Christ loves, you. Consider what Christ has done for you. And oh, that this night you might turn your back on those paths of sin and look afresh to the Lord in repentance and call upon the Lord for that cleansing that is found in and through his blood, and for a refreshing, renewing again of your walk with him. Dear sinner, tonight, call upon the Lord to save you, that you might look away by faith to Christ and his work on Calvary, that you might see it there as a work of love, that you might be able to say with the apostle, with all of those who are saved, he loved me. And he gave himself for me. If you were able, dear unsaved, to go home tonight, that you might be driving home, and in your heart there is this thought, he loved me and gave himself for me. The internet, dear unsaved, would you come to the Christ of God who loves sinners and died for sinners? May you come. May God be pleased to apply the word. May it be a saving word even this night for you, dear unsaved. We're going to bow in prayer. We'll close in prayer. Our God and our Father, we bow before thee. We thank thee. We praise thee, Lord, for the glorious gospel message that a poor, hell-deserving sinner can so look to the Lord Jesus Christ, find salvation in him,
and be able to say he loved me and gave himself for me. Oh, that this night there will be those who know the convicting power of God, brought under conviction of sin, know that wondrous gift of God, the Lord giving to them faith, enabling them to put their trust in Christ, that they might be saved by grace. Save the unsaved, restore the backslider, bless thine own blood-bought people tonight, Lord. Dismiss us with the blessing of the triune God, for we ask it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and for his glory. Amen and amen. Amen.